C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma non mi maratare. Figlio mio a cutterare, mamma mia pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a olo, io va, io viene sempre a calare dal manerene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, figlio mio.
Oh, mama, zilla, zilla, baka, baka. Hi there, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week on Progressive Radio Network. You know, the people, of course, you know, the nation is divided. There's the hate Trumps and the love Trumps. To me, you know, Trump is okay. And the reason is that, you know, it's always been a freak show. And now we got a freak to show a real freak show it is. I mean, look at the rhetoric spewing out of this guy's mouth and a backtracker just like the rest of them. I had some, you know, positive feelings about him in terms of restoring health to the economy on things that he said he was going to do. I didn't think restoring health to the economy, however, meant, you know, dismantling environmental regulations so that his mining friends could mine more on public lands. I didn't think he would be giving all his big buddies bigger tax breaks. And of course, I was very positive on feeling about his stance against foreign entanglements, since, as you all know, I launched OccupyPeace.us. OccupyPeace.us to bring home all the troops, no foreign entanglements. And Trump was very forthright in calling the losing wars exactly what they were when he was candidate Trump. But just like every little guy or woman that runs for office and gets elected, they'll say anything to get in there. And you know, there's two words that all these little clowns have forgotten. And those two words are public servant. You got it? Public servant. You are there to serve the public. And we're having the same issue up here in Colonial Kingston, New York, where the mayor, Steve Noble, or maybe it should be Ignoble, oversaw the cutting down of generations-old trees on the most historic four corners in America, Crown and John Street. Look it up. Crown and John Street, Kingston, New York. And I've invested my heart, my soul, and my savings into restoring this corner and preserving the buildings. And him and his cutting down trees department massacred the entire place, cut down trees. Cut them down and massacred them. Didn't bring any experts in. No, we're the experts. You're going to tell us what to do? One guy actually said, the branches on this tree smell, so we're cutting it down. That's right. So what people are forgetting is that they're taking orders from little boys and girls who are public servants. Right from the top to the bottom. But boy, once they get into office, they change the whole routine, man. Roll out the red carpets and don't forget to salute. Just like you see Trump and all the other ones walking off the helicopter and some saluting some guy dressed up in military drag. What a joke. What a joke. Anyway, moving on to some news that's going on in the business world. Now the Dow keeps going up, man. Foop, bop, beat up, ba da ba, boom, bam, boop. Yep. Why? Because of the cheap dough. End of story, man. Every night we do trends in the news, each weekday night, as part of your subscription to the Trends Journal. The only place to read history before it happens. And yesterday, I went over all the new buyouts, the merger and acquisitions that were happening just in one day around the world. $5.2 billion, $3.6 billion, $7.4 billion, one after another, one company after another, one being bought out by another. And you know who's doing it? These private equity groups, Bain Capital, yeah. One after another, private equity groups buying out everybody. There's no room left for we the people. It's a takeover. It's fascism. The merger of state and corporate powers. Yep, one after another. You read the headlines of other stories. Study, prosperity bypasses some areas. This is in yesterday's New York Times. It shows, I'm reading this because it shows the disparity of wealth that we have in this country. There's never been a financial recovery. The only money has gone to the 1%. And it's the same thing around the country, every place, one after another. The study by Economic Innovation Group finds that a small number of high-growth cities and towns are fueling U.S. growth and masking economic struggles in decaying industrial towns, swaths of rural South, and other areas of the country. What rural South? You've been up to Binghamton lately? Go to Auburn. Oh, yeah, it's lovely up there. One city after another that used to be prosperous cities, decaying and decayed. The prime years of the national economic recovery bypassed many of America's most vulnerable places altogether, the report said. Far from achieving even anemic growth from 2011 to 2015, distressed communities instead experienced what amounts to a deep, ongoing recession. And what are the implications of this? Well, on average, residents of the distressed counties, die almost 5 years younger than residents of the most prosperous counties. Mortality rates from mental and substance abuse disorders are 64% higher in distressed counties than prosperous ones. Cancer, pregnancy complications, suicide, and violence also contributed to the elevated mortality rate. There's been no recovery. It's a cover-up. All the money's gone to the top, the 1%. The facts are there. Like Obama used to brag about all the jobs that were created when he was president. Yeah, but what you didn't mention, commander-in-chief, was that according to the Harvard-Princeton study, 94% of those jobs are temporary. Big news yesterday, Target needs employees. They're going to raise the wages to $11 an hour. Oh, yeah, great. You could live on that. And the reason these wages are so low in all these big multinational companies is all they're concerned about is their bottom line. There's no such thing as worker loyalty. They could care if you drop dead. And don't forget to go to college and get that degree in worthlessness. Or better yet, getting one in packaging and delivering. Yeah, so you can get a job with Amazon. Or learn how to drive so you could be a Uber. This is dead, man. And this is America. America's a country of lack of courage. I see it right up here. You know how much trouble I'm getting to have people complain about the destruction that Mayor Ignoble caused on the most historic four corners in America? And people say, oh, Gerald, I'm so sorry. What do you mean you're sorry? It's not about me. Well, I can't call now. I'm a coward. Cowards, a country of cowards. Where are the war protests? Here we are, they're yelling about North Korea. No protesters. No, put on your pink pussy hats and get out there for transgenders. War doesn't count. And going back to what I just read about how this economic disparity and how the poor places are the ones in the country that are still suffering. All you have to do is look at who's in the military. It's the poorer ones. That's all it is. There was a great story in the Wall Street Journal about these two twin brothers. Small town in Texas. They both committed suicide. Heartbreaking story. Heartbreaking. After serving multiple tours of duty in the illegal and immoral wars waged by the United States. Right after 9/11, they bought the line. They're kids. What do you know when you're young? And they signed up. They had drinking problems before, drug problems. And it only got worse. And what do they do when they get you in the military and you're having problems? They drug you up, man, more. You don't see little Jared Kushner or little Eric Trump or Fat Mouth Trump, for that matter, going into the service, or little Paulie Ryan. And John Insane McCain's not a hero. He's a murderer. He dropped bombs slaughtering innocent people. Oh, and that BS Vietnam load of baloney piece of junk that they're propagandizing on television with this Ken Burns. What a bunch of garbage that is. Yep. Same thing. Trump didn't go. I got a bone spur. I got a bone spur. His father paid off some political clown to get him off, I would suggest. So don't sue me, Trump. I would suggest, fat boy. You want to go fight over there in Vietnam, fat boy? Go lead the charge. That's right. If you call him out, take him out. Or else you're a coward like Obama, like Clinton, like Bush. Cowards. A country of cowards, and the fish rots from the head down, man. And boy, does it stink. Right over here. I see it all the time. I ask people to call up about the mass destruction caused by Mayor Ignoble on Crown and John Streets. Hack the hell out of these trees. Cut them down. Oh, here's the reason I forgot to tell you. They're paving the streets. And they can't let the branches get in the way of the paving trucks. I'm not making this up. They've been paving for centuries, I think, right? Maybe a century. Used to leave the trees. Little boy. That's it. Can't get anybody to call. Oh, I have friends of mine to call. Only my friends. Others? And the public servant doesn't even have the respect to return my call. I pay more in taxes than double his salary. Taxes for a stinking rotten school system with a superintendent that lies right in the media. And you could quote me on that. One jerk after another, because that's who usually gets into politics. Not all the time, but most of the time. And I'm saying that from experience, having been as a young man, not knowing much, running the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York at a graduate school, number two guy. Having designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University, and being the assistant to the Secretary of the New York State Senate and Chief Government Affairs Specialist in D.C. for the chemical industry. That's right. So I know what the other side looks like. At 28 years old, I was staying at the Willard Hotel and putting on the meetings at the Hay Adams, running the show, hiring the attorneys and the lobbyists. I know the people in. Disgusting group of individuals, by and large. Little lowlifes. Most of them, again, never work a day in their lives. Now in America, once the land of opportunity, thanks to all the deregulations brought to you by, beginning with Jimmy Carter, who everybody loves, deregulated the airline industry. There were 150 airlines. You only can make so much money. It was a public service. They used to compete on service because it was a public service. Again, as a young guy, I mentioned, you know, I hit the top really quick in the business world, flying first class. Oh, would you like lobster thermidor? They roll out a roast to prime rib to chop up and cut up in front of you. It was really first class. They didn't have all these little freaks feeling you up in those days. A freak show. Oh, by the way, that's the insert of the New Trends Journal. Yep. The Presidential Reality Show. Who's your favorite freak? A pullout, a poster that you want to send to all your beloved friends and family who deny the facts. Who's your favorite freak? Because that's all it is. It's a freak a show. So, what's going on in the world? Well, they had that election over there in Germany, and Merkel got mauled. And they refer to the people that are responsible for beating her, the AfD party, which we wrote about, by the way, over a year ago in the Trends Journal, the Alternative for Deutschland. And the way they refer to them, that they're right wing. Yep. Right wing. AfD enters German parliament for the first time. They're right wing because they're tired of a flood of refugees going into their country and changing the nature of their ethnicity. Why? How dare you? You should let everybody in. You don't have to maintain who you are. Be a nobody. Yeah. But nobody talks about why the refugees are going in. Nobody talks to you about the murderous wars by Obama, by Bush, by Clinton's. Nobody. Not a peep about why the refugee problem exists. I am totally against taking in new immigrants right now. I just read you the troubles that this country is having, the wealth gaps. We can't take care of our own. The travel ban is stupid. That's just Trumpitis. No more immigrants. They didn't bring immigrants into this country during the Great Depression until it got back on its feet. It's nothing to do with being anti-immigration. They bring people in here because they needed workers. We need to call our relatives, so my generation came over for jobs. There are no jobs now. Oh, I forgot. You can get a job at Target for $11 an hour. A disgrace. I mentioned, I was talking about that Vietnam War thing that they're pumping the propaganda war. And John Pilger, P-I-L-G-E-R, who I highly respect, has a great piece on Information Clearinghouse. He begins it by, one of the most hyped events of American television, the Vietnam War, started on PBS Network. The directors are Ken Burns and Lynn Novick, acclaimed for his documentaries on the Civil War, the Great Depression, and the history of jazz. He did a disgusting job on the history of jazz. I know jazz. Yeah. Talking about just you know, moronic stuff. One of the guys, great, dropped out of my mind now, great old saxophone player. And he left the United States, went to France because he shot somebody or something. And he pulled a gun. Yeah, I mean, it had nothing to do with the history of jazz. It was a terrible, I know jazz. This guy knows nothing about it. Anyway, he goes on to say, Burns says of his historic Vietnam film, quote, "They will inspire our country to begin to talk and think about the Vietnam War in its in an entirely new way." So I started thinking about this right off. How about talking, what a big deal, you're going to talk about it in an environment in an entirely new way? What difference does it make? How about the wars going on now that nobody will talk about? Are you going to wait till everybody's dead? Like that should rot in hell McNamara and Johnson, so you can't bring them up on war crime tribunals like Bush and Clinton's and Obama's and Powell's and Rice's and Cheney's and Rumsfeld's? Yeah, let's wait till everybody's dead and gone and then come up with a bull BS. I can't say the word because it's not proper. You always have to be proper and always, I'm sorry, I'm not talking in a proper tone. As they murder people, murder trees, and you can't get angry. Anyway, in a society often befriend of historical memory and enthralled to the propaganda of its, quote, exceptionalism, Burns' entirely new, in quotes, Vietnam War is presented, quote, as epic historic work. This is Pilger. Its lavish advertising campaign promotes its biggest backer, you ready for this? Bank of America, which in 1971 was burned down by students in Santa Barbara, California, as a symbol of the hatred, or of the hated war in Vietnam. Burns says he is grateful, quote, to the entire Bank of America family. Oh yeah, the family, mom and dad and the kids, and Uncle Bank and Aunt Bank. And Grandpa Bankster, what a family, what family, which has long supported our country's veterans. Yeah, the country's veterans, mostly poor young women and men who have no future. Support them for what? To send them over to go murder people in innocent countries that done nothing to us? Oh, that's who you love, Burns? Bank of America was a corporate prop to an invasion that killed perhaps as many as 4 million Vietnamese and ravaged and poisoned a once bountiful land, Pilger goes on to write. More than 58,000 American soldiers were killed, and around the same number are estimated to have taken their own lives, yet about 300,000 seriously wounded. I watched the first episode in New York. It leaves you in no doubt of its intentions right from the start. The narrator says the war was, quote, begun in good faith by decent people out of fateful misunderstandings, American overconfidence, and Cold War misunderstandings. Ah. Pilger goes on to write, the dishonesty of this statement is not surprising. The cynical fabrication of false flags that led to the invasion of Vietnam is a matter of record. The Gulf of Tonkin incident in 1964, which Burns promotes as true, was just one. Burns. You should burn. The lies litter a multitude of official documents, notably the Pentagon Papers, which the great whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg released in 1971. There was no good faith. The faith was rotten and cancerous. For me, says Pilger again, as it must be for many Americans, it is difficult to watch the film jumble of red peril maps, unexplained interviewees, ineptly cut archive, and maudlin American battlefield sequences. And that's exactly for the reasons I won't watch it and can't. He goes on, he really destroys this. What a fraud it is, and the people are buying it. Hey, Burns, why don't you do the Iraq War? How about the Libyan War, Burns? No, I got it, the Syrian War, maybe the Afghan War. No, we'll wait till everybody's dead, and then we'll do a propaganda piece on it. And we could use those same terms. Everybody will buy them. They were done in good faith by decent people, out of faithful misunderstandings, American overconfidence, yep, and misunderstandings. I love that word, misunderstandings. Well, I killed them because I misunderstood. Cowards. America, the nation of cowards. Where is the support for peace? And Pilger makes that point too. Where is it? Where is it? He was there. He writes, in the early 1970s, I went to Quang Nai province, where in a village of May Lai, between 347 and 500 men, women, and infants were murdered by American troops. He puts in, Burns prefers killings. At the time, this was presented as an aberration, quote, an American tragedy. In this one province, it was estimated 50,000 people had been slaughtered during the era of American free fire zones. Mass homicide, this was not news. Well, Mr. Pilger, just go to Mosul. Go to Raqqa in Syria. They're slaughtering that many people right now. Look at the photos that you can't find on any of the American media of the mass destruction that America's just bombed these countries into oblivion. This is the military strategy. Level them. Kill them. What is wrong with the people of this nation to allow the mass murder to continue? Again, for the mass murder of Mother Nature and everything that feeds and heals the people, to the mass murder of the people that live here. Where is the outrage? None. Nothing's changed. Nothing. Look at Trump. I made this point last week, and Pilgrim makes it again. When Donald Trump addressed the United Nations on 19 September, he declared he was, quote, ready, willing, and able to, quote, totally destroy North Korea and its 25 million people. Where was the outrage? Where is it? Where is it? Nothing. And then Pilger goes on to write, his rival for the presidency, Hillary Clinton, had boasted she was prepared to, quote, totally obliterate Iran, a nation of 800 million people. This is the American way. Only euphemisms are missing now, Pilger writes. Returning to the U.S., he says, I am struck by the silence and the absence of the opposition. On the streets, in journalism, in the arts, as if dissent once tolerated in the mainstream has regressed to a dissidence, a metaphoric underground. There's plenty of sound and fury at Trump, the odious one, the fascist, but almost none at Trump, the symptoms and caricature of an enduring system of conquest and extremism. Where are the ghosts of the great anti-war demonstrations that took over Washington in the 1970s? Well, Mr. Pilger, I am one of those ghosts. I launched Occupy Peace. Gary Null came up here. I brought in Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan, the brave woman that campaigned out in front of George Bush's ranch when his son was killed in Iraq. Dr. Robert Thurman, Uma Thurman's father, renowned Buddhist. I, Mr. Pilger, am one of those ghosts of the great anti-war demonstrations. And truly a ghost, along with the other few, my business partner, Derek Osinenko, where we put our money, our time, our hearts, and our passion in launching Occupy Peace. And a small number of very generous friends of limited means that could give what they could. Other than that, a deafening silence. Only one or two local newspapers up here covered us. We sent it out over 150,000 press releases over the course of 2 months. Hired public relations people to spread the word. No coverage. Where are the ghosts of the great anti-war demonstrations that took over Washington in the 70s, Mr. Pilger? I'll tell you where they are. The only reason those anti-war demonstrations were going on so strong was because there was a thing called the draft. And I was of prime draft age back then. And I got my draft notices, and even when the lottery came out, picked the low number. Or they did. 99. I did everything I could to avoid the draft, and it did. I barely got out of high school. I went to a school in Charleston, West Virginia, Morris Harvey College, the only place I could get into. I avoided the draft not because I was smart enough at that age to be against the war. Actually, I kind of, you know, was into those jet planes and those bombs. You know, a kid, you like that stuff, a lot of kids, boys particularly. I just couldn't imagine me in a foreign country walking through these rice paddies and swamps with a gun over my head and getting shot at. That's the only reason I avoided it. The only reason there's no anti-war demonstrations now because there's no draft. As I read to you earlier on, the disparity of wealth in this nation as detailed and the people that serve and who they are, and those numbers came out too. Wonderful story again, not wonderful, but a good in-depth story in the New York Times. Not the New York Times, they never have anything good in there anymore. The Wall Street Journal. About these two brothers that committed suicide, and how it's overwhelmingly the numbers are from poor communities. We have a call in from John from Jersey, and anyone that wants to call, our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and I ask you to put your money where your mind and morality is and support Occupy Peace. Hi, John.
Hey. You know what? I've come to the conclusion I might be your best fan. You seem to say everything that I say to myself every day. First of all, I got a scholarship to get out of high school. They gave me $100 to leave. Please, go away. Second, the outrage, I think that's hidden away along with the weapons of mass destruction. I think that's where they are. And I think cowards would be probably the best description, which you seem to use all the time. Right now, I'm wondering, are you hearing me?
I hear you.
Oh, okay, good. All right, good. And as far as Ken Burns, that documentary, I had written a letter to the editor recently, and I posed the question, do you think they're going to mention the stories about smuggling cocaine back to the United States from Vietnam in the, along with the bodies in those flag-draped coffins? Do you think they're going to mention that in this particular documentary? I doubt it, you know. Then I also asked them, do you think there's a connection between cocaine being shipped, smuggled back to the United States, and the fact that heroin from Afghanistan is now big business? So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. It's, I don't know. I thought, you know, Trump has picked up a couple of words and expressions that I use often, and now I refuse to use them. So sometimes I'm at a loss for words. In either case, keep telling it like it is, Jerry, okay? And I will be tuning in every time.
Oh, thank you.
You have a good day.
And again, please see what you can do to support Occupy Peace. The time has never been better than now. The phony little liberals out there, they wouldn't support us when Obama was in. They didn't mind his murderous wars. They were okay. They were all forgotten a long time ago. But now that they got Trump in there, maybe they'll, you know, show a little bit of courage here and start supporting us, because, and again, it's not supporting me. I want to make this really clear. You know, like I said, you know, we're cutting down these trees over here, and people say, I'm so sorry. What do you mean you're sorry for me? Don't be sorry for me. You think they're sorry for me because, you know, I own the buildings. That has nothing to do with it. No, it's the destruction of this beauty. And no one is doing anything about it. So again, you know, if you want, now I believe is the best time, because there's so much divisiveness against Trump. And it's also important to know too, as I mentioned, that when we launched Occupy Peace in 2015, the little lying, arrogant Obama was president. That little con man, the arrogance of him, folks. Yeah, he folked us real good. Yeah. 7 simultaneous wars. 7. A presidential record. And you like how they overthrew the democratically elected government of Ukraine, didn't you? Huh? That was another nice one. Yep. Massing. American-led NATO forces on Russia's western border. Pilger writes about that too. Obama's pivot to Asia in 2011 signaled the transfer of the majority of America's naval and air forces to Asia and the Pacific for no purpose other than to confront and provoke China. The Nobel Peace Laureate's worldwide campaign of assassinations is arguably the most extensive campaign of terrorism since 9/11, writes Pilger. What is known in the U.S. as, quote, the left has effectively allied with the darkest recesses of institutional power, notably the Pentagon and the CIA, to see off a peace deal with between Trump and Vladimir Putin and to reinstate Russia as an enemy on the basis of no evidence of its alleged interference in the 2016 presidential election. And again, as I point out and others do, now the White House is being run by three generals. Yeah. General losers. Haven't won a war, guys. With all your medals and your bad attitude and your strategies, your only strategies is to kill and destroy. Murder is your middle name. Mad Dog? Hey, I didn't give it to you. You're the guy that said that when you meet people, you got to think about if you're going to kill them. But words to that effect, don't quote me. We got a call from Randolph in Montreal.
Mr. Salenti. Thank you very much. I stumbled upon last night on the Kimmel show on the internet, and something very interesting. He was stopping people on the street and asking them if people thought, this was in Hollywood, California, whether the United States should go after Kim Il-jong in Korea. Automatically, everybody said, yes, yes, yes. He said, could you please, here's a map, could you please point out where Korea is? Well, what was sad or scary, people were pointing to Canada, they were pointing to England, they were pointing to India. Only one, by sheer luck, pointed to Korea. She didn't even know it was there. She just put her finger on, and it just so happened to hit Korea. So what it means is that most people haven't got a clue. All they go by is just exactly what is pumped into their heads day in and day out. They haven't got a clue. Nobody seems to be able, I'm being exaggerated, not nobody. People just don't even check for themselves, don't research anything. So do you have a comment there?
Yeah, well, they don't. But, you know, there's another poll that came out recently that most Americans don't want a war with North Korea. These guys also, you know, again, most people are ignorant to what's going on, and that's why propaganda works so well. But there, I just read a poll. Actually, it was on the World Socialist website, and they had it up on how many people were for and against the war. I've seen conflicting numbers, by the way, but most of them come in and saying if we are threatened. And, of course, they can make up anything to be a threat. Goes back to the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened. It happened with weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. The thing is that the most important thing to understand here, Randolph, is that it's propaganda that people keep buying. They only buy sound bites. They're totally uninformed. And it's not only in the United States, but it's here mostly worse than anywhere else in any of the developed nations. And the other thing that this nation doesn't have, and again, that Pilger is missing, why there aren't war demonstrations, as I said, because there's no draft going on. When your life is on the line, it's a different trip. But the other thing is, when you go to Europe, like in Catalonia, look at the massive demonstrations the people are having. They want to secede from Spain. And by the way, do you know when Catalonia was conquered?
And they're peaceful. They were peaceful.
Yeah. But look at the amount of people that turned out.
Sure.
And they're still staying to the streets, and the government's cracking down on them and won't even let them vote. And the United States is supporting that rotten government of Spain. How about letting people decide what they want?
Exactly.
Who are you to say what we should
be? That's what the representatives should be doing. They shouldn't be doing their own agenda. They should be doing what they were elected to do.
Exactly. And that's what I said before. These little boys and girls forgot two words. Public servants. Servants. We are not your servants. You got it backwards, Jack. And that's what they got it. So now what's going on, what I'm saying, though, is look at the massive demonstrations. And as Pilger points out, and I do too, not a peep about peace in the United States. He asks where these groups are. And again, please do what you can to support Occupy Peace. Put your money where your mind, heart, and soul is. We need to get this movement going because we got three generals running the White House that are generally out of their minds by what they say and by their actions. Oh, yeah, one of them loved Guantanamo. Yep, one F, Mad Dog, there's another guy for you. Yep, Kelly, Mad Dog, and McMaster, yep. Trump is back in military school. That's all it is, as I said before. He got the generals running the show. Any other questions, Randolph?
Well, I have a suggestion.
Yes,
why
please.
Why not make Kim Ju, whatever his name is, Ing, why not make him unite Korea and put him as head of state? In other words, he has only power in which the parliament decides what he does, and he will just be a head of state. And they can unite the two countries, which he's actually been trying to do. A couple of years ago, he tried it with this basketball situation, and for the beginning, the media looked at it favorably, and suddenly he was an idiot. He was a useless guy. They just in midstream changed the whole situation to make him look stupid. I mean, all the guys been asking to join the two countries. So if they made him head of state, he would really only be able to move and do anything with the right of parliament. Parliament would decide what he does, not what he decides. In other words, he's a constitutional monarch, and that would unite the whole of the people of Korea. They could redevelop. I mean, he has not attacked anybody I don't know how long Korea's attacked anybody.
They never did. Here's the deal, though. What happened was, that was the beginning. That's why the United States killed over 4 million North Koreans. They leveled the place. The pilots, you say, there's nothing left to knock out anymore. You see the photos. Everything is brand new. Everything is brand new because the United States destroyed everything. That's what the plan was. That was the whole thing. They wanted a united Korea. It was the United States that fought to separate it.
Is it possible, the Italian saying, cercando il pelo all'uva, is what's going on with this Russia situation?
And meaning, you're breaking up.
Cercando il pelo all'uva, looking for the hair in the egg, which they can never find.
I don't know. It's just madness.
They have to find something. Yeah. They're looking for anything to justify these insane policies. Surely they could join with China and Russia and India and South Africa in the one road, one tire. Silk Road infrastructure, which would create employment in the United States for the next 50 years.
Look, again, we got stupid people here, and that's all it's about. You got crazy people who've been running the government. That's the nature of who they are,
I appreciate it. Really, thank you, Mr. Salenti, for your time.
Well, thank you
very, very much.
I want to talk a little bit about some other issues, such as, well, before I do, we got Gwen from Manhattan. Hello, Gwen.
Hi. How are you? Okay, I've been listening to your show. I haven't heard your show before, and I like a lot of what you're saying. And I want to know about where the trees are. I didn't tune in to where the trees are being taken down, so I don't know who to call, but I will call because I do things. I do call. I do show up. But I also wanted to...
The trees are being taken down in Colonial Kingston. You go to Google Maps. John Brown Street.
Okay.
It's the most historic four corners in America. This is where we launched Occupy Peace. It's the only place where there are pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings on each corner.
Wow.
The trees they cut down are in front of the 1774 Academy. This is where John Vanderlyn, the famous Hudson River painter, went to school.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first capital of New York State. 80% or more of America's Constitution comes from the Constitution that was written here. They have no regard for the historic value of what's here. So anyway.
Right. And we don't have any regard for any historic value, period, especially in New York City. We tear it all down. We don't care about the fabric of the city or the history of the city. And we put cheap, ugly buildings up that are not sustainable. So I'm right down with you. As a matter of fact, I also just ran for city council. I don't think I'm one of those people to spit on, but I do. It's unbelievably hard when you are not running on the criminal ticket. You have to be a criminal, unfortunately. You really have to be a criminal to get in, and it's really a shame because when I was out there, I could really feel. I felt the apathy, and I also felt a need for hope, something to hang on to. And, we just keep getting slammed. I mean, I think what's happening and what people really look at is how the power is handed down is exactly the same. Blasio is doing exactly what Mayor Bloomberg did. It's almost identical.
I'm sorry, Gwen, you're breaking up here. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? I am on the road.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not working well. No.
Okay. Well, we'll try it again some other time.
Yeah, why don't you call in another time when you're immobile?
Oh, okay,
we're not
thank
on the
you.
Road. Because we can't hear
I'll
you.
Be on a chair so instead.
Thanks a lot, Gwen, and good luck. All right, so in wrapping up, we're... I just want to touch on the markets a bit because people are interested in those things. You know, there's one of the things that's keeping this market going, and the only thing is cheap money. So as long as the cheap money keeps flowing, the markets go up. No cheap money, markets go down. It's as simple as that. Only reason for this recovery, and it shows you what I just read, it's not a recovery, is that all the cheap dough that's made the rich richer, the multinationals buying out more and more companies, countries around the world, companies and countries, are all one. And also, very interesting as well, the numbers came out on people starting new businesses. They're dramatically down by the hundreds of thousands in previous years. Because you can't compete. But you can compete if you look for history before it happens. And that's what we do at the Trends Research Institute. That's why we suggest people subscribe to the Trends Journal. Because one of our features is how to become an on-trend entrepreneur. If you don't want to work for somebody else, and you want to run your own life and start your own business, get in a business where there's going to be an opportunity for it. It's not what you like, what you wish for, what you hope. It's what is and what may be. So that's what we try to provide our people with. And our website, of course, is trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. There may be a pullback in the market, and we are suggesting there is going to be one, in fact, probably about 10%. We don't see a crash at this time, minus the wild cards, and the wild cards, the Mother Nature, made by man.
just like we saw the destruction of the historic trees in Kingston, New York, made by man, or Mother Nature destroying them in hurricanes, cyclones, earthquakes, tornadoes, etc. And that's why nobody could predict the future. You can only see the trends developing, where they go and how they play out. You get a good aspect of the understanding of it. Gold is taking a hit. It's now below the $1,300 an ounce mark. Significant. It needs to stay above that 13 for strength. As you all well know, I've said many times, I see a downside risk of gold, probably about $100 down from where it is. It has to go over 1,400 solidly to go higher. The interest rate changes are going to make a difference. So I want to thank everybody, again, for tuning into Progressive Radio Network, and always to remember that the future is in your hands. My dear mother, may her soul rest in peace. Before I knew what the word meant, she used to say to me, I hate cowards. So I wouldn't do that to disrespect my mother. I'm sure your mother wouldn't want you to be a coward either. So thank you again for tuning in. And our website, of course, is trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And stay tuned to Progressive Radio Network to keep on top of really what's going on with all that fake news out there. And it's just so hard to see through and hear through. And it's people like you that really can make a difference. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, fireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men and women. And again, the bottom line, of course, is also for you to get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And Gary Noel has a number of those products on the physical side that could help as well. So as we're wrapping up, I encourage all of you to consider doing what you can to make the change. Be a person of courage. And to also help us by supporting Occupy Peace. OccupyPeace.us. Because it's only about us. This is Gerald Celente, and that's Trends This Week.
C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma non mi mandare. Figlio mio, putterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a ola, io te va.